The Volume.
Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
Hennessy is excited to celebrate the intersection of basketball with art, music, and fashion. Each of these elements of culture represent ways that fans, players, supporters pay homage to the game, both on and off the court.
Hennessy and Mitchell and us have come together for the ultimate drop, a limited edition collection to mark their shared love for basketball culture and to celebrate Hennessy's continued partnership with the league.
The exclusive collection will have a limited drop available for both in retail and online and will be featured on the Hennessy Arena Tour, making stops in
San Francisco, Saturday, March 9th, Dallas, Sunday, March 17th,
Atlanta, Saturday, March 30th.
Come see Club 520 Podcast taped live in each city.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice
and a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only.
Please drink responsibly.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms. Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs, like the XPS 16, powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
All right, we back. Another episode of Club 520 Podcast. We on the road with it. 520 and a 502. Special guest, Hall of Fame to my left. We're going to introduce my man's last, but to my far left, we got my dog, Bishop B. here out the Pearlies. How you what, Nasty?
Cool and Nasty. Let's pod, baby.
Out the gate to my right, my dog, Young Nacho, Young Teague. How you what?
Chilling, bro. Hype, bro. Huge fan of our guest, so I'm going to let you do the honor, so.
Absolutely, man. Hey, we are privileged to be in the house, you know what I'm saying? We got a legend, Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards to ever play basketball. If you don't know who we talking about. And listen, I don't give too much credit to UK players, you know what I'm saying? But I got to show some love, man. Rajon Rondo, man, appreciate you pulling up to 520. Actually, let us pull it up to you, man. We appreciate you, big dog.
No problem, man.
Yeah, career beautiful, bro.
Wonderful, man. For sure. Like we said, man, we know you went to UK, but hey, B. Hen, he started off with the high school. He loved high school basketball.
Yeah, that's right.
Before the episode started, he already started with the bullshit. We might as well get straight to it, man. We ain't even gonna play with it. Pause.
Like he was saying, like his class is like damn near top five. We were just trying to pick out, like, you know, the all stars from Jeff class 07 to, you know,
the all stars, or are we talking about top five players?
Let's just do, let's give me your all star. Give me the, you feel me? What's that movie, Jackie Moon now?
You call the 04 class the Flint Tropics?
With that front court? After though, it gets spooky in the all star game, bro. So give me your five. Give me your five.
We'll start with the big fella in the middle.
Okay.
Dwight Howard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Probably had the best career. Josh Smith.
Shout out to Smooth.
Yeah, that's our guy. Love.
Okay. 520 alumni.
Yes.
Kyle Lowry. Still holding it down.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry. Respect it.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Shout out to L.A.
Okay.
That's fine. What you need me to do?
And then you at the one.
First, nah, I'm put a...
Yeah, I put myself at the one. Okay, cool.
Myself at the one. So now we got Derrick Rose.
D Rose at the one in the All Star game.
We've been there before.
D Rose. We just gonna name them though, and then you position them. D Rose, Blake Griffin. We gonna let DeAndre rock at the five.
Who?
Hold on, dog. I'll let you have the floor.
You speak on both names, though. Don't give me like a nigga like DeAndre Jordan. You know, okay.
DeAndre.
Shout out to DJ.
Yeah, you feel me? Texas A&M alum.
Nigga, not alum. He's over there for a brief stint, bro.
Then we got James Harden at the two.
Yeah.
Okay. Strong front. Yeah, strong backcourt. Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll put DJ in there. He's still in the league.
Zone
what?
Zone.
Six.
We're running y'all zone.
How? We got James.
Okay,
Eric Gore, Snipers.
No, oh, he just, he didn't.
Yeah.
Well.
James is a three.
Zone.
Blake.
Hold on. Who was at the three for you? He got Smooth at the three.
Smooth, hey, man, listen.
Smooth, my dog.
So wait, so who's going to be a slow EJ ass, or James Harden?
It don't matter. Zone.
It's going to be a slow ass game.
This game going to be
1980s Eastern Conference basketball.
Slugfest.
Detroit versus Detroit.
All right, we can move on. What's the score? Give me a score, though, then we can move on.
We're going 89 to 81.
No forward.
Oh, yeah. Y'all got them big slow niggas down there.
How many fouls are going to be called in that game? That's really going to determine who win the game.
Man, y'all got
hella. I don't even know how y'all can keep up if we keeping it real.
Our guys ain't stiff. They can run the floor.
Listen, nigga, you gonna take the ball off the rim and run. You go, nigga, come on.
No,
that's what you gonna be doing the
James
whole game.
James don't play that fast.
Nah, James.
Now we're gonna get back on D Rose, absolutely. But he gotta meet a lot of athletic niggas at the rim, which he's done in his career, one or two guys, but we got three on the court at every time. So we're gonna challenge it.
Mm. Who guarding Blake?
Blake guarding the cell. Dwight, I mean, what you mean?
All right, Freaky D, pause.
I just told him he's zoning y'all, though.
What you call him?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Nah, we can move on. DJ Tappy here, bro.
Man, for sure, man. Obviously, we know you went to college, and your college is going crazy right now.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up. I didn't know this. I want to see if it was any true. Shout out to Rex Chapman. He brought this up on Twitter. Obviously, you know you went to UK, and he was just like, there was a time period when you was at UK where you thought you might have transferred. Is that true?
Man, if the portal was alive then,
you
I'd have been out. Yeah, for sure. I was out of there.
Damn.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a lot of people in my life, a great mentor. Shout out Doug Bibby, Bill Duffy, Rex Chapman at that time. It's kind of told me, you know, stay down, keep my head down, cream rise to the top, and continue to work.
For sure. Like you was talking about with the kids on the transfer portal now. Yeah. How was that to see college basketball being so crazy, especially when y'all was in programs that was historic and y'all had to wait y'all turn to get to it?
I mean, we ain't historic, but we appreciate it.
I mean, listen, y'all got some Hall of Famers at your school, so y'all historic. Y'all show respect.
We got two, you're right.
How many chips they got?
Oh, shit.
So here we go.
So you were historic, but you can't really.
Oh,
that nigga been around 1700.
I knew he was one of them college.
When the university started, then?
Niggas be throwing words around.
I'm just saying historic. Like, what makes you say historic?
Okay. I was going to correct you. I knew you were historic.
He was.
No, I said no purpose. I started to be.
Okay. No beef, you know.
Crazy.
Shout out to Wake.
Wake, historic, man.
Did Wake make a Final Four?
I would have been in the portal.
You would have been in the portal for sure.
Wake made a Final Four, didn't he?
Nah.
Wait, y'all was supposed
I don't think
to.
So. Wait, when Tim Duncan?
Y'all was supposed to. I think Tim played in the
I don't know
four.
If Tim Duncan made the Final Four.
We'll do our research.
That's the best. Okay.
Yeah, we had Tim Duncan and CP ain't make no Final Four. We lost in the first round.
Ever.
UK got some history.
Respect. They do got some history, man. They got some killers. How you feeling about the coach hire, man?
Man, I love it. You know, it's a familiar face. You know, proven champion. And a guy that's been at work for a while at it. You know what I mean? He's been at BYU. I think a lot of people don't get to understand the style of play. Mm-hmm. Up-tempo, shoot the three. So right now it's about getting the players. So, but he's going to have the bread to do it. So that should be a problem. That's crazy what they're getting right now.
Listen, I was going to ask. I know how you were with the NIL. Come on, you would have been in the portal. I know that Kentucky NIL bag would have been crazy for you.
Come on, man.
I mean, you never know. I mean, like I said, we were at McDonald's. We had three McDonald's that year in my class I came in, but you know, I was going for the chip. I mean, it was the win. And obviously, nowadays it's different, and I understand that.
But how much money do you think you would have got though?
Oh yeah,
me at the time when I got to Oak Hill, I was ranked like 129 or something.
Yeah.
Once I got on the map, played against the elite talent, destroyed it. I got to McDonald's.
Yeah.
So it just depends. I committed late.
You would have got a bag.
I didn't take no visits. So it just depends. I could have got a couple milli. I would say. But I might not went to Kentucky.
Nah, fact, you gotta think, Lil Leland, he just got 350.
Shout out to Leland.
It's like, damn. I got that the hard way. Yep. I had to go see the boosters. Yeah. You know what I mean? I had to shake some hands. Nah, but I'm like, damn, if I would have came out of high school, I wouldn't have got a million, but I probably would have got like 500K. But like my little brother going to UK, when he came out, he probably would have got.
Yeah.
He was the number one nigga too.
They all touching the million if you go to UK.
That's crazy.
Top 25 in your class.
That's crazy.
Joe your two guard?
Joe, yep. And Ramel Bradley. Oh, yes, but the starter though was Patrick Sparks.
That's who.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember he had a flamethrower.
Bad motherfucker, yeah. Cold, hard worker.
Nah, y'all big had a crazy shooter. Backcourt.
You talking about
that? But they had us in the chokehold, man.
Damn.
Couldn't do nothing. Oh, slow the ball down. Hold on. Throw it in the post. Like, damn.
So what, Joe was running off screens and shit?
Like, look, pin down, but we had to walk that thing up the court, man.
Couldn't have fun.
No up tempo. Wasn't no.
That wasn't
you
throwing the oop to Josh type
shit. They showed me a hit me with the. That's why I would have went to the portal. Showed me a dream. I was like, what? I gotta slow down? Oh, man, what am I doing
here? Yeah, you from Louisville, right?
Yeah.
So man. How did you get to Lexington from Louisville?
So that's the million-dollar question, especially around the city. And people think, Patino offered me my junior year before I went to Oak Hill. And he brought my high school coach, Doug Bibby, in. My mom, we set us down and offered me a scholarship. But at the time, I wanted to weigh my options. Mm-hmm. So I said, I kind of declined for the moment.
Yeah.
Bassie signed a contract. People thought Bassie took my deal. And I was like, nah, it's all fair game. I went to Oak Hill, went crazy. And then at Oak Hill, I was gone for so long. It was an 8-hour drive. I'd never been away from home. No cell phones. I mean, it was bad. And it was military. It was boys on one side. You couldn't cross the gun line, boss. On the other side with the girls. So go to church every Sunday. I try to sleep in a couple of times. They're coming and knocking on your door in the dorm. Get your ass up. Let's go. Go to school. So that was different for me. So I wanted to go back home, be close to my family. So I didn't decide to go to Louisville. I called my boy, Larry O'Bannon, asked him how it was, because he's from here. He was playing at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me some great advice. I went down the street.
Speaking of Oak Hill, I've been seeing BJ doing a little documentary. Shout out to Brandon Jennings. Who your Oak Hill top five?
That's a tough one, man.
Hey, real tough. They got y'all got a history of killers.
What you want to talk about high school? The best, the greatest of all time.
What? Let's drink.
Oak Hill, the greatest. Oak Hill, the greatest of all time. High school class or high school period.
Shout out to Freaky Steve. Nah, he got y'all.
Steve Smith.
Yeah, the GOAT.
The GOAT, yeah, for sure.
I greatest would go, high school coach ever.
I would go...
But y'all cheat code, bro. That ain't fair.
What's technically... We weren't getting paid.
Y'all wasn't getting paid.
We had the J's, though.
He was a Kyler Perry, like...
He was a Kyler Perry.
He was, though. Steve had that mouthpiece to get players there type shit. Like, I feel like...
I don't think it's on other school like
it started
that,
from Rod, yeah, but I
mean... Maybe Hargrave.
But he had
Mount Vernon beat your ass, Rod.
Hold on, whoa. Well, not when I was there. We was 44-0. Went to Spain, went to goddamn Cali, Modern Day, Nick Young, all them. Yeah, of course.
I brag on y'all team.
Brian Johnson, DJ.
I speak high of you, though.
Yeah. Deshaun Wright, what's up?
Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. And
no
D'Angelo
smoke.
Russell.
No smoke with us. We the tore their ass up.
Hell no.
Shout out to D-Lo. No,
hell no.
Squad, hell they got
Cade.
You talking about all time?
I'm talking about your team. Your team was fire.
04? You talking about 04 team?
Yeah, your team was raw.
We the mop anybody in the country all time, any class.
No, never.
Ooh,
Brian Johnson, 6'10 at the center.
Cold, on my life. Cold.
Deshaun Wright, a goon, 6'9 with the Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah,
Josh Bunnies. Smith at the three. Smooth. Then we had.
I stand down. That's
listen,
my guy.
Listen.
He put him at the three again. He had the three again.
Yes. But let me verify this one. The high school court is a lot smaller. This is our press. Josh Smith in the front. Deshaun Wright, 6'9. Casey Rivers.
Front court, silly.
Casey Rivers hit 15 threes in the game.
Yeah, I played against KC.
Clemson. Shout out to KC. Yeah. Like, and then me at the point, man.
I remember your 55-point game at Oak Hill. I'm tapped in.
That was overseas on your boy Sergio Rodriguez.
I'm tapped in. Damn, shout out to Sergio.
That's what put me on the map.
Yeah, Sergio was probably off the tequila that night. Listen.
Sergio was drunk.
Man, he had to be. Shit, well, I mixed that. 55, I think. 55 I remember that. 17, too, to be exact.
Mixed third point.
Josh Smith got in foul trouble. Next, that was history.
Nah, I remember that. I remember watching that on, I forgot the old school, high school tape I used to watch on y'all. But Mount Verde with like I said, D'Angelo Russell,
okay.
Ben Simmons, and Joel.
Well, you, come on, but you got, we said, I said five though. I named five players, bro. You
them
named
three in high school?
Yeah, they ridiculous. Ben Simmons was retarded.
You put shooters around him, Ben Simmons?
Are you saying their team?
That's one through five.
You can't just say put shooters around him if they didn't have shooters on the team.
They did. Ooh, they went D-Lo? Undefeated.
We went undefeated. We went out of the country.
I don't know if
we
they
went to Cali.
We played every team.
We went to New York. We went everywhere. Barcelona.
They traveled too. My brother traveled.
I know they traveled, but I'm saying with that particular year, we went 44-0, man. The greatest high school team of all.
Listen.
Not even a question.
For sure. We got our Googles on that
line
one.
Line up against anybody, bro. We had five, bro.
We can move on.
We had dogs. Let's cap it at that. You ain't name no dogs, though.
Niggas man, probably didn't even bring up your 55-point game when you do these interviews.
I wasn't even going to do that with this team.
But I'm telling you, that is a fire-ass squad. Joel Embiid at your five. He's better than any five that ever came through Oak Hill.
I wouldn't. I'm not going to argue that. But after that,
not even close.
Yeah, but again, he's got to go against Brian Johnson, then Josh Smith on his ass on the backside versus Deshaun Wright. We don't know how we're gonna play. First of all, how y'all gonna get the ball up the court? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, D-Lo.
Yeah, D-Lo is
D-Lo. No, I'm saying y'all saying like D-Lo. That's my first. That's my dog. D-Lo. Okay.
He wasn't around no smoke.
Not me. No. That's what I'm telling y'all. Mm-hmm. We got Deshaun Wright. That's 6'9". On top of the ball, bro. Josh Smith, that's the other guy that you got to make a pass over or try to dribble through. And these niggas ain't no stiff. Again, in the court is a high school court.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't talking about no league court where there's space and opportunity. 6'9", 6'10", 6'9", in the front court. Y'all got Embiid. That's all you said.
Ben Simmons?
He's 6'7"?
10.
Nah, Ben Simmons is like 6'9", 6'10".
Okay. Again, dogs. On my team.
Yes, sir.
He just hurt right now, bro. He just hurt, bro. He used to be a dog, bro.
You will soon, Ben.
Yeah. I ain't saying he wasn't. I'm just saying, I know what we got.
We'll come back to the high school. Okay. I'm here.
All right, cool. I'm here.
Obviously, we don't
like this shit.
I love it. It's high school knowledge. Yeah, I love it.
55, you know about that, huh?
Yeah. Okay. You my nigga, bro. I'll fuck with you.
Appreciate it, bro.
For sure. Obviously, we know you went crazy in college. And then, obviously, how was your draft process?
I was on a leash in college, man.
For you.
Nah, he used to wear the T-shirt. He inspired
big T-shirt.
Delonte inspired me to wear the T-shirt. Delonte okay. West used to wear one at St. Joe's.
Yes, sir.
He used to wear one at Kentucky. I'm like, oh, that shit hard. And then I used to wear the mellow socks. I was like, oh, yeah.
But before we moved to the Almond Control, DJ,
like, crazy.
Why'd you stay 3 years then?
Two. Whew, I had to. I couldn't go. First of all, at that time, my college career or experience was crazy because we talked about it earlier, I had 14 guys go out straight out of the league, to the league from high school. So I feel like I'm behind. So I'm in school and I'm getting to it. I ain't partying. I ain't going out. I ain't doing a whole bunch of nothing. I'm in the gym because obviously it was right across the street. So that was my mindset. So I'm already behind. So I don't have time to do the other bullshit.
Gotcha.
That's my brother Josh Smith. We going to Atlanta. He give me bread. You know what I mean? Go to the strip club. We are having. I'm like, damn, I'm behind. Like,
yeah.
I got this is a different type of lifestyle. So for me, I was right to it. So it wasn't I got to where I wanted to be. I wasn't allowed to play my game and play it with pace and space. But at the end of the day, I got to where I wanted to be just because I stayed down and continued to work. So I had to stay 2 years. And then after we lost, I think we lost to UConn my second year in the 16, maybe even been 32, I got right out of there. Tubby's like, let me talk to him. I'm like, let me talk to you. Appreciate it. I'm out here. Let me go. So, I went.
Now, that got to be a different experience to have, like, one of your best friends to be in the NBA at that age. Because I grew up with a guy named Courtney Lee.
So, CC Lee
having a Range Rover and all this shit when I was in college, I'm like, oh, hell nah. I got to make it to the league. Then Eric, he from the same area I'm from, and George Hill is too.
Right.
And to see them come back to the city was like, nah, I can't be out here. Everybody talking about hoops.
Yeah.
I'm not in the league. And then you got Greg and Mike, obviously. They was high picks, whatever. But I'm like, nah, I got to do something. So I know how you feel.
Right,
I got
to get to it.
Yeah.
When you're exposed to it, you know, it gave me motivation. That's why I come back to the city and do what I do. You know what I mean? It's not to brag about what I got. It's like, man, look, if I did it, niggas.
It's possible.
That's all I do. Just get to it, bro.
And especially with both of y'all giving back to y'all communities, obviously with you coaching the Pike and then obviously what you do with your AU team, like you inspiring, like I'm visible. I can show you. I'm from here just like you. You can do this too. Absolutely. That means a lot to our communities. Even though you see with like Cam Newton, he went through that scrutiny with the little stuff with the kids and the adults acting stupid. But to have that type of influence in the city to give back, but like, hey, I can do this. This thing is something that's very important. I commend both of y'all for doing that shit because that's real. And y'all get more of a headache than you get from it, but it's still, it shows, it
it's a blessing,
about
though,
y'all,
you know what I mean? I'm very blessed. So it's like, you know, it is at times, but you know, we're built for this, you know what I mean? Right. So it's what we're in this position for a reason.
But his team good though. His son nice.
Yeah, what he's talking
and they
about?
Got a big country in the paint. I'm like, hey, bro, he what, man, get his birth certificate, man. They was beating up on my little homies,
out,
man.
No.
We legit all across the board.
We ain't
got to do none of that. We just going to work. We ain't got to cheat the game. We're going to work the game.
Respect it.
He said no Joel Embiid birth certificates.
Man, they tell me my son, 13, 14. I'm like, why do I need to hold my son back, or
yeah,
if he ain't
real.
There, he ain't there.
Yeah, that's real.
Man, he played multiple sports. Like, he ain't got to make it.
Yeah.
He got to know how to count this money. That's it. He ain't got to know how to, you know what I mean?
For sure.
He ain't got no pressure on him. If you want to play it, let's do it. If not, whatever you want to do with support.
But he nice, though.
He nice.
We was
he
talking
nice.
About it, though. The worst part of that shit being the parents. Like, fucking the kids up. That's the whole... Man.
Jamal Crawford hit on the head about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Facts.
Man, it's the parents, man. But, you know, I've had a lot of kids I had to let go. You know what I mean? And great kids, it's just, you know, damn near more likely it's the fathers that think their kids are where they need to be versus where they should be versus just hold them accountable. You know what I mean? That's my main thing. That's what we preach at my program is we gonna check your ass. But the thing about it, what I love about it is that we watch every game. So it's like, when your parents or the parents come to us, it's like, my nigga, I done watched more tape on your son than you watch on him. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here trying to put my time and effort into him. And you're upset about blah, blah, X, Y, and Z. You bring them to my team for a reason. You know what I mean? Humble as I can say it, it's like, my nigga, I'm one on one. So
yes, sir.
Understand what I'm giving to him. I don't get nothing out of this. I'm not an AAU coach that's trying to, you know, piggyback the kid for the next 6 years to get some bread out of him, my nigga. This is all love.
Right, facts.
You see, different, though. You watch AAU film.
Yeah. And at least the kid daddy was in their life. He did a bunch of single mamas.
We lost that 2. We play at court 8 at 5. Get your mama some money. Get that 20. I ain't giving none of y'all no money. So y'all play y'all 20. I see y'all at court 8.
Listen, man. I just hope one day they realize, like I said, ain't none of that. As soon as 2:00 game over, we got fruit for the kids. We in the sprinter. We watch a film for like 30 minutes because, again, their attention span. And we're going to go back to the next game and lock in and focus and try not to make those same mistakes.
Nah, you different, bro.
That's real.
Everybody here that they need to come play for you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Because that's different. That's real.
Rondo Elite. Yeah.
Don't play. Nah, I run play like, AAU for me. Play high school for me. Don't play AAU.
I run it like a pro. I try to run like a pro program.
Nah, that's dope. Yeah. That's dope.
Whatever we went through, is like I try to get in.
That's fire.
We're going to get there a day early. We're going to have a shoot around.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you said that, I'm like, practice.
I hit it. I'm like, man, let me, you got a gym for me up? Nap?
Yeah.
You got some work in, bro.
Yeah. I was like, y'all about to practice? Yeah. When I play AAU, we never practice. I had one practice. That's when we met everybody.
Right.
That's it. I swear on everything.
That's how it is, yeah.
Damn, speech. But I swear, everybody came together. We met at the place.
But that's the thing we were talking about is like, nowadays, kids also hop.
Yeah.
Just like how college is allowed now, but even probably before the NIL came a deal, the transfer portal, but it's like kids hop versus like, if you want to play for a program, play for that program and learn from that one program. Like, it's not about these kids nowadays. It's like, oh, let me get a highlight tape for this program. Let me get a highlight tape for this one. Yeah. Let me get the most clicks. It's like, my nigga, you ain't developing.
Nope.
Like, it's about development. Y'all want to worry about being number one team ranking. Like, how good is your son? And I see a lot of, I had a real conversation with the kids maybe about a month ago on my team. I was like, man, a lot of you niggas ain't got no better than last year. So it's like, I'm going to keep it a buck with you because I can pull out film from last year because I've been doing this for 3 years now. And my year one team, trash. Trash. Boy, we got picked on, bullied. I mean, like I said, we got hit in the mouth a couple of times, but we had to see what was out there. You know what I mean? We had to get our ass out there in the fire. My son was a part of it, and I hated to see that nigga lose. So I was like, shit, let me pluck, build, okay, develop, and put players around him that, you know what I mean, he can hoop with. So that's been the motivation. That's been, you know, the mission for so far.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
You got to be a college coach or NBA coach, man. Something got to happen, bro.
I want to, but obviously where I'm at in life now, that's why I kind of been on the pause. You know what I mean? Like, I got a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
She just got her license plate yesterday, so she on the road, man. So I'm, you know, shit like that going on. I'm in school now. I'm about to finish my degree, hopefully next spring.
Turn up.
2025. And then I'm ready to go into that level. But like I said, right now, obviously kid focused, getting my degree, continue to challenge myself, learn more and more daily things. And actually, I appreciate being in college now than I did, obviously, when I was just locked in trying to get to leave.
Yeah, so.
What your son remind you of, though, if you had to pinpoint his game right now?
Me.
Facts. He can me, pass.
Because I ain't got to check him out. I used to be on my scouting shit. I ain't tapped in with Nasty yet.
You know when somebody got the eye?
Yeah.
He making passes. I'm like, oh, he got the eye.
Yeah, he
got the eye.
I'm on his ass, bro, but he's special, and he wants it. You know what
That's
I mean?
Good so to like hear said, it, he, early at that age.
He got his ass up this morning. Went down and got on a gun. 7 a.m. Like I said, I'm proud. I'm thankful to my kids. Are extremely disciplined.
Yeah.
My daughter got up 5 o'clock this morning. Went to individuals this morning. I mean, my son got up on his own at 7 a.m. Came downstairs, got some shots up. It's like, you know what I mean? What they've instilled in them is like, it's a beautiful thing. And it's like, I don't take that for granted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, that discipline definitely need that.
Yeah.
But like we said, man, went crazy. Now it's draft time. How was your draft process? Obviously, you know what I'm saying? You was trying to get free from Kentucky. Danny Ainge saw you go crazy overseas.
Yeah, so I had two workouts with Boston. But I was in the back of the board. You know what I mean? Like I was trying to line everybody up. Okay, who's he in front of me? Okay, let me line him up. Where he at? Where he going? Oh, he going to Philly? Put me on the plane. So that was my mindset. I always wanted to go kill and see where I was at, play against the best, and make them make a decision based on what I was doing versus like what y'all seen in Kentucky ain't who I am. Like, let me show you this dog, let me show you this motherfucker that's gonna play 100 every possession. Like, so that's what I showed Boston, and they moved up and got me the 21st pick, which felt like 3 hours I was sitting there, motherfucker. I said, damn, am I ever going to get picked? Then the crazy thing is the 20th pick was Ronaldo Balkman. Mm-hmm. So I heard that rough. I was like, what? Oh, shit. So they know.
Same shit happened to me.
Yeah.
Nigga, Philly called me the day before and told me they going to pick me at 17. And then they said, Drew, what? Drew Holiday, who is that? Like, no disrespect, Drew. Actually, that's my guy, but
yeah.
I didn't know
at
him
time,
at the time.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, Drew Holiday, he a freshman at UCLA. What he averaged? Look it up.
Right, right.
What he averaged 5, 6. What's this shit? Drew a Hall of Famer. Whatever.
That's all the potential.
Yeah, yeah. They said they, yeah, they sure. They made the right choice. Good choice. No, good choice.
But you would end up being on part of one of the craziest, most successful franchise, one of the craziest teams ever.
Yeah.
And y'all all was cold, all Hall of Famers. How was that experience just being in Boston, being with Dodd, being with the team? Like, obviously, you earned your stripes early and they trusted you. How was that process?
Man, it was hard. I mean, it was tough. Again, people don't know. Like, my rookie year, I wanted to get traded.
Yeah.
I was calling my agent, calling my high school coach, man, get me the fuck out of here. Like, this ain't it. I felt like I was doing what I had to do in practice. Shout out to Bassey.
How about
say something about that? It was, you know, that's my dog. Like I said, they know we was competing. Like I said, yeah, at that time, I felt like I was getting the best of them. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to play, and we lost 18 straight that year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn, like, get, you know, shake something up, do something different. He never really did. Like I said, Doc told me some things that didn't, you know, come to light. And I was like, damn, like, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed down again, cream rise to the top. I kept working. That summer, I'm at the crib, my mom's house, and I see my name on the TV. It's like seven names on that bitch. We're going to Minnesota. I'm like, ooh, yes, get me out of here. But I'm like, damn, Minnesota?
Yeah.
Ah. But whatever.
Don't
cool.
worry about it.
No, yeah,
Minnesota.
Whatever.
I've been there before.
Now I get to play, right. So I, you know, I see it, whatever. Day go by. Danny Ainge called me like, you ain't going nowhere. Okay, cool, whatever. Come to find out, KG said what he said. Let me lock in and stay home at the crib at Boston at the time. So the following year, like I said, we lost 18 the first year. Next year, we obviously mm-hmm. win the championship. So that transition itself was a blessing in disguise because, again, I'm fighting to get out. But the Lord had a better plan for me, obviously, just to stay down, go through adversity, handle this shit. And then now I prepared you for the next year, which was all the pressure on between me and Perk. You know, they had two guys that's not proven, you know, no name guys that can't do this, they can't do that, playing with three Hall of Famers. So for me, it was just my mindset. You know, I mean, the people I had around me, like, you know, have a strong mindset to think, like, I am who I am. I had to prove it. But again, it had to show through work.
Yes,
and I was in that bitch every day in the weight room. I learned to work in the weight room from Kevin.
Mm.
He worked every day. And I'm like, nigga, you always this motherfucker. Like, but again, to play longevity, to get through that season without hitting the wall or to get through, mm-hmm. you know, playing through injuries, you have to continue to have your body, maintain your body, have a strong core from jump, upper and lower extremity. So for me, just learning the distance from them guys, I would come in the gym at night thinking I'm doing something by myself. Upstairs is Paul Pierce on the treadmill. Ray Allen show up game days at 3 o'clock, getting shots up at 4. You know what I mean? So it was like, I got a mix of all that, and I'm taking everything. Give me that. Let me get that. I'm a sponge. So, and I'm adding it to what I love to do. Now I'm getting my pregame routine. Now I'm figuring out what I like to eat. Because at first, I was coming to the league, I was eating Big Macs for games. I'm going across the street, eating, you know, number two, number one at McDonald's, fries. Yeah. Thinking I can do it all. But I was like, nah, young fella, you got to slow down. So,
Teague, what you was on?
I went to the mall. What's that bourbon chicken?
The bourbon chicken?
Airy City. Bourbon chicken, me. I was on a budget, too. I was going crazy on that bourbon chicken. Though.
Him and that budget is crazy.
That is crazy.
Hey, man. I was broke, bro. Gotta
manage.
Save it, bro.
Nah, for sure.
That's the problem now. A lot of us, maybe not now because of the money they're getting. Let me cut y'all, but it's like, when I first came in the league, them class day with teachers, man, it was 85% of us going broke after 6 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, I cannot be a statistic.
That's real. I think they're doing a better job of like being acknowledging financial literacy now.
In the bag. In the bag.
Oh, that bag.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's definitely
yeah, different. I was talking about you. I think I seen somebody sign for 4 year, 40, and we thought that was crazy. Like,
I think it was Chauncey. Because I wanted my deal like, I think Tony Parker was getting like 11 or 12 at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, man, give me 11. I'm cool.
Yeah.
I signed 555.
I know, I was about to say that.
I was like, man, this is like, you know what I mean? Like, where I'm from.
When you got it, I was like, yeah, 55. Damn, he rich as hell. Yeah. I remember D-Rose got 80. I couldn't believe it.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah,
and
that was
80 is like,
that's the
Grace Allen.
That's right.
That's where you're at.
Yeah, he just went. He averaged 3 points. Right there,
like,
right?
Like, damn, hell, 7. Yeah. When I see I love Peyton Pritchard, but I remember he got 4 year 32 off the bench. I'm like, damn, that was like, that was starting playing my hardest. I was like, damn.
That was all-star team.
All-star.
That's like, these are all-star like numbers you're getting. Like, you all-star, this is what you're getting.
I'm like, man, it's a blessing for them, though, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But for you to be the PG to run a team, like, how was that to deal with all the personalities? Because they was all successful in their own right.
It was fun, man. It was fun. You know, shout out to KG, man. He was, you know, he helped me a lot. Like I said, he held me accountable from when I was doing the right thing or when I wasn't. So, you know, me and Pete, tight as ever now, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we clashed a lot. Like I said, he was a captain, you know what I mean? And for me, being able to run it through Doc, learning from Doc. They brought in Sam Cassell, which helped me a lot. Armand Hill, I had great guys around me to help me like manage the guys, learn how to, you know, manipulate the game, make sure everybody's cool. But Kevin was the one that sacrificed most. That's why I say shout out to Kevin, because, you know, P obviously still wanted his shots. Ray wanted his shots. But Kevin, when he wanted that motherfucker, he'd be like, hey, bring that motherfucker down. Then there was, you know, it was time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, he was a willing pick setter. You know what I mean? He understood his role. He was a star in his role, which he was a superstar, but it's, you know, it's, people don't understand, like, he was a star in his role. He was going to pick up 94 feet with me. He was going to talk the most on defense. He was going to lay a motherfucker down if he needed to, elbow-wise.
Out the gate.
He going to talk shit, get the team going. So his mindset, he didn't talk to nobody before games. That nigga was locked in every time. I remember one time, my rookie year, we in Rome. My second year, we in Rome, and he's going through in the layup line. Man, that nigga bumped the shit out of me one time. I'm like, what the fuck? Didn't look at me, didn't break a sweat, and kept it locked. And I'm like, this nigga is for real. Like, what?
Yeah.
But he was just, it was his mindset before the game. Like, it was him against everybody. And not necessarily bumped me on purpose. I'm saying it's like his mindset, he does a ritual every game. He never shot before the games. Like, he never came out at 4 o'clock or 60 minutes on the clock. His shoot, when he shot, he would grab one or two rookies and make their ass shoot every time. He hit the rebound, we got as a team 20 minutes on the clock. He get to his four spots every time, every day. In practice, he's going to do the same thing every day after practice. Like, so I was like, okay, getting him. I think him and Brown was the most disciplined players I've ever played with.
Mm.
Daily.
Great.
Daily, yeah,
for sure. Why you bark at me in the game, bro?
Who, me?
Nah, KG.
Oh, man, that's him, man. Like,
why
I mean,
he get on all fours and bark at me, bro?
Hold on, pause, bro.
Pause. Like, I was like, what are you on, bro?
We got to find the clip.
Bro, hey, man, please find the clip, man.
That, it was crazy,
I mean,
bro.
That's what I loved about him, man. Like, that motherfucker, you would love to go to war with him. I think people compare him in a sense kind of like a Joakim Noah. Yeah. I mean, you hate to play against a motherfucker, but when you get him on his team, it's like, he's your favorite teammate of all time. So
that's what my little brother has said. But I had a question. I want to talk basketball for real. Like, we had a clip with me and Jordan Crawford was talking about Avery Bradley. And I remember y'all two were starting the backcourt at one point. You two niggas playing defense was the most wild shit. I used to be like, hey, man.
Look, that little young nigga, shout out, that's my little bro, AB, man. That nigga inspired me, bro. Like, because when he got there, it's like, I didn't have to be that guy that picked up 94 anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I was like, whoo, shit, good looks, young fella. And the way he did it in practice, man, the nigga was intimidating. He was dominating, like, and he would, every time he get a nigga, he'd be like, hey, he's on my list, though. I got him. Get Nash, I got him. Add him, Jermaine Nelson, I got him. I'm like, when I'm in the game watching niggas, do not want to put that bitch on the ground in front of him. Like, niggas throwing that motherfucker, rock screen, anything. Like, man, I don't give a fuck who get this ball. It ain't going to be me getting embarrassed. Because as a PG, you can't get ripped 94 feet away from the basket. Like, I mean, you just at half court, that's one of the most embarrassing. To me, that's worse than getting, or equivalent to getting dunked on. Like, you're getting picked at the top. Mm.
Especially in the league, man.
What?
I'm Roy. They was guarding us. We was in the playoffs against them. And he was like, let's get these niggas, man. I looked at myself. Damn. I do that, but Joe,
that's what I love.
That's
exactly what it was. That's the mindset, yo. Like I said, he was always with it. That's why one of my favorite backcourt mates was Jrue Holiday, man.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. We played that series against Portland. Man, nigga was like, man, it was either Portland or it was Houston.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know me, let's get Houston. He's like, nigga, let's get Portland. I'm like, nigga, whoever. Like, and it was that mindset, having a running mate with you, beside you like that, it's like, man, I'm ready to go to war any time of the day.
I'm two defenders right there.
And I'm cool with switching with them. I'm okay. So if I got a guy like a D-Rose, if I got to chase the Steph, I'm not comfortable switching with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But an Avery Bradley, a Jrue Holiday, I'm like, okay, cool. They on the same thing I'm on. Shut this nigga down. Like,
hey, we going to jump around, but we got to talk about that Pelicans team and what y'all did to that Trailblazers team. I feel like that's one of the few teams. And you've been a catalyst for a lot of great playoff runs.
That was his game plan.
Yeah.
I seen him. I was watching the game. I said, he made this game plan. He's coaching this. I promise.
Shout out to Gentry, man.
You coached that, didn't you?
I shout out to Gentry.
He coached that. I don't care what that's
He allowed me. I think people, I'm thankful for people that coached that allowed me to coach when I played, you know what I mean? Because like I said, I had to earn their respect. Because again, that year in particular, man, y'all forget, we had DeMarcus Cousins on that team.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't forget.
So my thing, when he tore his ACL, because before that, I wasn't in rotation like that. Because it wasn't enough basketballs. It was Jrue, AD, Cuz.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't fit in because I needed the ball too. So once Cuz went down, he was starting to master the game too, man. That's what I said. Me, I was the vet at the time. It wasn't really an ego thing. It was like, man, if I could see my young boys, which was Cuz and AD, and like I said, one of my favorite teammates, Jrue, go crazy. I was trying to teach Cuz how to manipulate the game because at first, Cuz and AD were both trying to score 50.
Yeah.
I'm like, Cuz, Let 80 get to 50. You get 20, 20, and 10. And now we all can still eat.
Yes, sir.
And at that time, if you look it up, I think Cubs was starting to average a couple triple-doubles at the time.
Man, he was.
He's going crazy.
Got hurt against Golden State. Achilles shit happened, whatever. I don't know who, but it might have been Golden State. Popped his Achilles, and then they inserted me. And then I was like, all right, let's get to it. Okay, I got 80 as a Weber, and I got, I had Nico. Not Nico. What's my man?
Meritage.
Okay, big. He was my shooter, and I had Drew. I had a Etwan Moore. I mean, yeah, I had some smooth weapons. Yeah. So, I mean, if I was able to have a team where I had weapons, mm-hmm. I feel like I can beat you four times before you beat me four times. That was always how I played and thought the game.
Yeah, I ain't even saying it because you're here, nigga. I swear to God, I thought y'all was going to the finals.
Nah, you always said that.
I always preached that.
The only reason I believe that we didn't, man, is because, for one, we didn't have Cuz. Because yes. when we were going against Golden State, we needed that enforcer.
Yes,
and we needed somebody to check Draymond.
Yep.
I mean, I wanted 80 the first play of the game to hit Draymond in the chest. Set the tone.
Different, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, it had to set the tone. I think Draymond hit it first against AD. Mm-hmm. And again, obviously we lost that series.
Yep.
We were able to get one. Like, people obviously had us swept. But the way we did Portland, niggas had to start looking like, oh, okay, what the fuck they got going over here in New Orleans? So,
yeah.
Gentry was coach. And Flynn, Minnesota coach, was the offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So he know how to work with two big guys. So now
it was dope because we had a stretch four. We had damn near, Nico, he was stretching that bitch out. You know what I mean? Where Nurkic couldn't get there.
Yeah. But now it makes sense how he plays in Minnesota.
Right.
With Cat being a stretch four.
Yeah.
With Rudy.
Damn, I didn't even know that makes sense now.
Yeah.
And then another crazy playoff team you had. We ain't even going to talk about the Chiefs first, but come on, the Bulls situation, dog.
That's
another one of them what if situations.
But y'all don't know. Let me tell you a little bit of history of that, though. Man, that was the year I had the biggest contract. So I'm in Chicago. I'm like I said, downtown. It was a great experience. Like I said, being able to play for Michael Jordan where he played in Chicago. Like I said, I think it's the closest distance from the crib that I was at.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I would get off of planes at 2 a.m. and drive home. And try to take my kids to school and drive back. Like, I was able to do shit like that. So, that particular year, though, them niggas fucked me. I mean, they benched me for a long period of time. They brought in a couple players, like, you know, you ain't the man. You're not giving us what we need. I'm like, my nigga, like, I'm handcuffed. Y'all keep giving Jimmy the ball, you're giving D-Wade the ball, but y'all know I need the ball, and I'm the point. So let me manipulate and do what I do with the ball. I'm a unselfish player. I'm going to give him the ball. And like, I'm out here trying to get 30, nigga. Like, they will get the ball when I feel need the time to put him in the best position to be great. Make it easier for him. Man, them niggas benched me for like a couple months.
Damn.
So,
I remember.
Again.
Isaiah Cannon was playing.
Mm-hmm. Cannon, Cameron Payne, Michael Carter-Williams, Jared Grant. They tried everybody. So, and like I said, it was all my young niggas. I love them all. You know what I mean? It's like, my nigga, y'all brought me here. Y'all paying me the highest I've ever been paid. It's supposed to be, I ain't trying to be a big three, but y'all got D-Wade and Jimmy, but y'all got me as the maestro to orchestrate this shit. Okay, cool. Let's get it. This y'all brought me in saying y'all want me to run the show. Mm-hmm. Again, I've been brought in a couple times where niggas like, we want you to do this. And when I do it, it's like, oh shit, he's doing too much or he's wild. Like, nah, nigga, y'all tell me this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that year, I get benched. And again, I'm like, man, this is some wild shit. What I do? I went to damn near every hood in Chicago in a sense and played runs called 150. Shout out to everybody that I hooped with. They kept me in shape.
They go up to 150.
They played the 150. And I was able to keep a cool head because I was still playing the game I love. I was still able to stay in shape. Mm-hmm. And then when I was saving cream rise to the top, when I got my opportunity again, it was playoff time.
Yes, sir.
So in my mind, I'm like, shit. I'm ready to fuck these niggas up. And again, we the AC. We got nothing to lose.
In the bean.
And I'm back at the crib. And Isaiah Thomas is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They got a hell of a squad. They're number one in the East.
Yeah.
Man, I figured, okay, cool. So game one, we in the lobby. We had our team meeting. So I told Jimmy and D-Wade to stay back. Let's me walk through a play with y'all. Because again, Brad ain't ready for this shit in the fourth quarter. Was able to manipulate the game that way. We obviously get game one, same thing we did game two. Mm. Now, at this time, people bought into what I was telling. At first, niggas weren't really trying to hear what I was saying. By that time, Nag was like, okay, what are you talking about? Okay, let's do that. And that's what we did. Then we win both games. Both games. Boom. Then I reach on Al Horford, broke my thumb.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm trying to play that like, nah, it's over. You got to chill. So, like I said, another blessing from above. The niggas lose four straight. It's like, come on, man. The crazy thing about it is, though, we went two on the road. We come back to the crib. It's supposed to be crazy back in Chicago. Man, that game three, it was like, this the crowd? Like, damn, like, I'm thinking this guy be crazy. Like, man, we number AC, we done won two games that nobody in the world expected. Fact, we done fucked up all the bets if it was heavy betting back then.
Boy, DraftKings was going crazy back then, boy.
We would have hit a lick.
No, Jontay.
Right.
Yeah. who taught you how to play the game? Because the way you think the game, it's kind of crazy, bro. Like, you hear, like, Kobe and LeBron talk about, like, your IQ about the game and stuff like that. Like, as a hooper, when I see stuff you was doing on the court, like, we would play you, and you would have a ball. This nigga, I don't know, pause, but this nigga hands big as shit. So the nigga would hold the ball, and he'd be telling this nigga, go set that right here. And I used to be like, what the fuck? Like, I look back, and this nigga take off and lay the ball. I'm like, man, I told him, Kurt Heinrich, you guard this motherfucker. Because he doing too much sneaky shit, man. I ain't with all that. I'd rather guard Avery Bradley, whoever running off these screens, Ray Allen, fuck all this shit. Because he'd be holding the ball. Do this, do it. And start attacking you, do all them in and outs. And I was like, man, who taught you how to play?
Taught me how to play and,
like,
Bibby taught me. My high school coach, Doug Bibby. Shout out Doug Bibby again. He's a sensei in this shit. But like I said, I grew up playing everywhere in the city.
Okay,
you know what I mean. I was always the smallest. I always play up. My older brother, he's 5 years older than me. So every time I played, it was niggas around his age. You know what I mean? So it was like, I didn't get picked up at first, so I had to prove myself. So it was like I always had that chip on my shoulder, and I always played against more athletic, taller, stronger guys. So it was like for me, I just wanted to be great, and I had to find a way to figure out how to do it. That's where I guess maybe the shot fake came from. Because again, I'm playing against tall niggas. It's my family gonna block my shot. So now I gotta outsmart them on how to, you know. To me, I love it. I compare it to like chess. I mean, to be two or three steps ahead of the game, and that's just always how I thought the game. And for me, the film is the answer to the test. So once I was introduced to film my freshman year in high school, Doug Bibby made us watch film, and I'm in this bitch like, man, here you go with this shit. I mean, I'm bad body language in film. Like, man, you always talking about me. So. At first, I didn't understand it. And I see it now teaching the AU kid. It's like the same energy. It's like, okay, all right, Linda, keep working. And you'll thank me later. That's why I keep continuing to do it. So for him to teach me the game and be able to watch myself and understand my mistakes and where my weaknesses are and how teams are going to play me, I was able to learn and continue to just pick it up and be a sponge. And now when I got, you know, when I got success from it, it was I'm not going to compare it to a drug, but it was very addictive to continue to learn and watch and play the game and understand guys' tendencies. So when I get in the game, it's like, I'm ahead of you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts. Not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, Without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. With no use of coatings, you can use metal tools to flip, press, and scrape without worry. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. Everything rusts and nobody talks about it because they couldn't fix it until now. With Weber's new rust-resistant technology, your Weber will last for years. When used, our carbon steel griddle hardens and bonds the surface, reducing the ability for moisture to collect and rust to form. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. With the Weber Works Prep Cook and Store System, you can keep cooking and cleaning supplies handy, carry food and condiments from kitchen to the griddle, and even convert the side table into a prep station. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
Yeah, because you was a psychopath. I'm like, this dude, like, when we used to guard you, I know I'm doing too much basketball. We like to joke and shit, but when we used to guard you, I used to tell the coaches, like, hey, we got to pick him up. We got to play him like we playing Steph Curry. You got to guard him. And they used to be like, no, sag back, sag back. I'm like, bro, he like Tom Brady in the pocket with nothing but Tom. He going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
And we was in a playoff series against y'all. We used to argue about that. And I'm like, bro, we got to guard him and make him like, be a scorer, make him make get in the decision. Lane and make decisions. Yeah. I'm like, you let him do this, bro, he gonna dissect
that
this.
That ball fight,
man,
bro,
he just sit there, Ray crazy. Allen come off a pin down.
I had too many weapons.
Yeah.
It was hard to play. Like I said, I got KG on the spin out lob. And it's crazy. I think AD, he would have to get it from him. Like I said, when AD connection, same shit. I'm like, man, me and Kevin should get that. Every big I play with, cuz, like, me and that KG reverse spin. Because niggas so thirsty not to deny him the ball because they're such a great player. So now you playing that top side.
Boom.
All I'm reading is the backside defense. And if he ain't a footer, I can only throw it to him where he can go get it. So I'm actually teaching my young boy on my AU team. He ain't dunking yet.
Yeah.
But trust me, by 2 years from now, year and a half, we're gonna have to spin that live. My son and the big kid, Jacob Carter.
I'm happy you brought that up. The head fake. You was a 2K legend, dog. That was head fake, bro, with the spin around late. It was green every time, bro.
I never played 2K.
Never?
I mean, I play against my son, but I never get on the game. I'm not a gamer. I just can't get into it. But all the games, I never play games. Really.
Listen, 2K8 to 2K by 12. Bro, you was unstoppable, bro. Nah, it didn't matter, bro.
Nah.
But you talk about that Bulls series when you was part of Bulls. Let's talk about that series when you was with the Celtics and y'all played the Bulls. One of the best first round series ever.
Ever. It was probably about 7 overtimes that series.
That was one of the best.
It was a dog. Ever. It was a dog fight, man. It was one of my favorite series I've ever played in. Shout out to D Rose. One of my favorite players I've ever played against. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't talk shit. He just let his game do the talking. And he was a tough motherfucker to guard. Like, unreal. Like,
number one?
Was he number one hardest to guard? Yes.
Nigga was tough, bro.
Yes. I mean, you know, you could say Steph, but at the same time, he was a monster. He is a monster as well. But that particular time with D Rose, you needed all five help. Like, you had to have, all five guys had to have eyes on him. Like,
yeah,
a nigga can get in the paint just like that. And then he's elevating on any big filleting, finessing, shitting. I'm like, I mean, it just depends. So he was tough, man. Transition was, he was a one man fast break. But
for sure. And obviously, we got to talk about these up here. Which one would you say was harder to get? Because y'all both had, there was legendary runs for both of them. Which championship would you say was a little tougher than the other one?
It's different and it's hard to speak on that because, again, at one point I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I was 34. So, different times in my life. At 21, playing, I think we played 26 games and win. Went to the Hawks 7 games. Detroit 6, Cleveland 7, and then LA 6. So I think it was like 26 games. And that was, like I said, every game. And you know, if you play in the playoffs, like, it's the highs and lows. You win one, you up here, you lose, you're like, shit, I can't eat. Don't talk to me. you know, when do we play again? That's the mindset. So it was like, for me, that was a tough one mentally to get through. Because again, like I said, we had 7 games damn near every time. And then, like I said, that 7 game, it's niggas do or die. So that mindset, nigga, I loved it. I think I thrived the most when it was game seven, so it was them type of pressure game because I wanted that moment. But I had a great cast around me. I mean, like I said, I felt like the pressure was all on me, but it wasn't in a sense because everybody was starring their role and were able to be great and we didn't have to do it all. Being coached by one of the best motivators and X and O's guys, Doc Rivers. He's catching a lot of heat lately. And
yes, sir.
You know, but again, like I feel like players make the coaches in a sense. You know what I mean? You can't do shit without talent. And the year before, again, we lost 18 straight with that team with Doc.
Mm-hmm.
You get a mix, a couple of Hall of Famers, the right chemistry, Thibodeau coming that motherfucker. Shout out to Thibodeau.
Tibbs.
Defensive juggernaut. And we were able to mesh, man. We had great leadership. Guys that sacrificed and bought into one another. It wasn't no egos at all that particular year. And we figured out and made it work. We had a group of older guys with the big three. And then we had the young guys, me, Tony Allen, Leon Poe, Perk.
Yeah, y'all bench was crazy.
You know what I mean? Eddie House, Jane Posey. So we were deep, you know, and it felt good, Paul. and it felt good to run that table. But the bubble was completely different too, though. I mean, like I said, we isolated. No motivation really in the sense of just like, nigga, check ball. It was me against you. It wasn't no fans. It wasn't no extra shit on the side. It wasn't no distractions really because we were able to lock in and hoop and play basketball. So I feel like we were always be able to be at our best in a sense.
For sure. And everybody talk about that bubble basketball. Y'all was damn near living in the dorms. Everybody was just on Amazon packages and packages hooping. Like that was like the purest form of basketball. I don't know why people be trying to discredit the bubble ring and stuff like that. Man. I'm like, nah, niggas had to really just sit there and hoop, bro.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was check ball classic, if you ask me. I mean, it wasn't no, like I said, wasn't no extra shit. You check ball, you played against each other. And like I said, in the playoffs, that's when, to me, Murray went crazy. Like,
yeah.
That's when I was like, oh, this nigga for real. Like, yeah, I didn't
know. He was hooping.
So he went crazy on us. He destroyed us. Like, we couldn't check him. He had a move on me so fucking cold, man. Y'all got to find this clip.
Luis.
He's in the bubble. He went, I feel like I got him. Got him. Top of the key. I think he ISO, boom. He go to cup. He drive left or something. He went up with his right hand. I contested it, bitch. He flipped, switched it, threw it up with his left, hit that bitch. I was like, this nigga is, I can't get him.
Yeah.
Neck, who next? I can't. I thought I can stop. We need a big guard on him or something, man. Come here, Brian. Come on.
Shit. What was you listening to before the games? What music was you tapping in with?
I'm more of a chill, laid back, maybe R&B. You know what I mean?
Like, for the hoop session?
For the hoop session. But I really started to play chess before the games at times later in my career.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like to just be kind of a level-headed mind. So I don't want to be up. I don't want to be amped. Like, I want to exert all my energy once I get to the court.
Who your favorite R&B artist?
Usher.
Respect.
Oh, listening to Usher before you went out to kill niggas is crazy.
No, I'm going to say that.
I would have never thought John Niggas was listening to Usher. Plus the niggas and shit. I never thought Usher was on the playlist.
My boy was listening to Confessions.
Motherfucker listening to Seduction. Going to slap a nigga is crazy. God damn.
Drop the mic. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hell no.
I set myself up with that
one. And, man, you know what's crazy, too? You got a lot of legendary pictures. We got to start with the one with you and the shorty in the championship with the confetti fall down. That's, like, one of the internet, like, legendary
pictures.
With
my son?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what makes... That's why I can't really say the first one was better than the second one because shout out to Eddie House. When we won the championship in the Celtics, his son was on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I want this experience.
Oh, that's dope.
And it's crazy, man. You know, fast forward, my son was able to be with me on the sidelines during the time.
You got that so picture like, in here?
It's in there, yeah. It's in there.
And to see Eddie House when his kid was killing in the tournament and seeing my son. Right.
Yeah,
was
I loved it. Yeah, like that's people don't said I hate him. Like, man, congrats, my nigga. Like, this is a great moment for you as a father, as a proud father. I know what you've done with your son and what you've been through and all type of shit. So it's like to see that moment. A lot of people went crazy about how he reacted. But it's like, nigga, y'all don't even understand the backstory to everything. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so that inspired me. And that's definitely one of the hardest pictures. Of course, I got one in my little man cave, and he got one in his room. So that's forever a moment. And he's loving every bit of that. But a lot of people think he's 13, 14 years old now. It's like on the AAU circuit. It's like, man, like the nigga is what he is. Like he's 12. Like.
And then another crazy picture is you at the restaurant where the dude walked up with the LeBron shirt on. And then you had to go to play LeBron. Did y'all ever talk about that at all?
Nah, we never spoke on that. Okay. We talking about, yeah, that one. Nah,
I've seen a funny video. You know, the dude that be trolling people come up to you and be like, hey, Chris Paul.
The nigga.
I said, that nigga will knock you out, bro.
Listen, man. Crazy thing is, I had security right outside the door because I jetted in the shoe store. I'm in LA. I think it was my fucking Christmas, I think. So okay. I'm ready to grab my son some shoes quickly in the back. I run in. I let total security stay in the front. I run out and this nigga pull up. I was like, I didn't even know who he was at the time. Well, you know, that's what he did. So obviously he caught me off guard and I didn't really want to, I knew I was on camera. So I like, you know, me and my character, I gotta be cool what I say or how I react to this. So you know, I let it ride.
That's the wrong nigga, bro.
That nigga be on there.
I think I was in Cool Kicks or something, man. Like I said, I couldn't really move how I do what I am, but.
Hey man, that moment is one of my favorite moments in NBA history. We ain't gonna speak on it too much, but I appreciated that moment very a lot, man.
Man, this dude here crazy. That's what's wrong with him, bro.
So now these niggas was listening to Usher before the game. That's, I'm still thrown back by that.
I
would have put 3-6 Mafia on your list if I had a guess, nigga. You
whoop that trick.
When I say weakest, you say.
And, nah, that's, you know.
I got another question. Hey, when Ray Rawson smacked Eddie House in the back of the head, what did y'all say in the locker room?
Man, I was so pissed. Oh my goodness, I was upset when that shit happened, man. Because the crazy thing is, me and Rafa got into it a couple years back, too.
Okay.
Shout out to Rafa. You know what I mean?
My lube.
Yeah. Couple years back, we got into it when he was with Houston. Right. I'm talking about it was jump ball. Nigga, the ball didn't even hit the floor. As soon as the ball tipped up, me and Rafa into it, we in it.
Damn.
Both niggas. Hockey. Watch out. It was crazy. So when he did that to E House, I was like, motherfucker. Like,
told you, yeah, watch out, bro.
You ain't even like, I'm pissed at E. Like, nigga, you ain't, fuck suspension, fuck everything, nigga. I was pissed, obviously, again, for personal reasons, but it's like, that was, I loved it though. I mean, fuck it, that's part of the game.
Yeah, I was like, I'll never forget that shit.
Man,
like,
me neither. Fuck, I was mad.
Now listen, you had the sneaky highlights. They ain't know how you were in the league, but y'all too, y'all got to do a versus of y'all highlights and y'all going crazy.
Nah, he is crazier than mine.
Nah, we talking about crazy, like which way
like,
was crazy?
Fouling or like doing stuff. I done ran into some people and shit, but.
Look at that nigga trying to downplay.
I don't even, I can't even think of none. What do you mean?
Man,
oh,
what?
No, you got the some golden one, bro.
Damn.
Don't got some highlights, bro.
Okay.
We let a low light.
Talking about behind the backpack? What are you talking about?
Nah,
talking about highlights.
Nah, we talking about our low lights.
Okay. Man, niggas been behind the backpack.
What you talking about when you in the middle of the club, nigga?
Okay, that part. Okay.
For sure,
man.
That's crazy. But like, obviously, man, we know how smart you are, but like to see the greats give you your credit, like how does that feel to have that type of validation? Obviously, sure. The accomplishments is there, but to the people that we all deem as ghosts, it's like, hey, nah, man. Rajon Rondo is that one. How does that feel?
Man, it's unbelievable, man. Like to get that respect, to be honored from, you know, like I said, part of the greats. I mentioned my name as far as how I understand the game and obviously playing against me for years. I played in this thing for 16 years. So to have that respect from, like I said, the guys that's doing the podcast now, the people that obviously everybody's talking and to hear those response and the respect they're giving me, it's a blessing and it's something I don't take for granted. You know what I mean? Like I said, I never played it for that. I played it just because I wanted to be great and I wanted to find my niche on how I could be great. Because again, I wasn't the fastest. I didn't shoot the best. I didn't jump the highest. Like, so it was like, okay, how can I be great in my own way? And for me, it was like, shit, I'm just going to study harder than most niggas. And like I said, be a sponge. I was fortunate to play with damn near probably over 10 to 12 Hall of first ballot Hall of Famers. So for me, every person I played with, it was like, let me get that. Okay, let me get that. And then when I went to different teams, I try to pass it along to the young guys, like to the 80s and I went from Dirk to Kevin. Now I'm able to talk to Cuz and give it to him and give it to Anthony Davis or whoever else young player, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, any young guy I play with, and that's why I pride myself on too, is always giving back to the young boys, rookies, the first, second player, your players that niggas don't really fuck with or respect in the sense, because again, I was once that player. I came in the 21st pick. I didn't play my rookie year, you know what I mean? So I feel like I understood what it took to work and continue to have positive people around you, your veterans and people that may look up to me and be like, damn, that nigga fuck with me. Okay, cool. Now I get it. This is what he doing. Then let me add a little bit of that. So that's the most humbling thing I can get when I go to these games and I see these young niggas and they're like, man, I appreciate what you did for me though. And it's like, that's the most satisfying thing for me, along with, you know, arguably the greatest of all time, Bron saying that he respect my IQ like no other. So it's like, I can't take to do but be thankful for it.
Now you a master try to pass for it sure, on. Bro.
For sure. And the nigga crazy, bro. Y'all don't know. He played against us. You tore your ACL, bro.
Man, I tore my ACL.
I swear, bro. I was like, I remember when you did. I'm like, damn. I think bro got hurt.
Bullshit play. So I jumped up, made a bounce pass to KG, came down. I was like, oh, shit, what the fuck? thought I just hyperextended my shit. I mean to cut y'all, but I'm going to go into it.
I remember I was like, damn, I think bro got hurt. So the next day, I was a fan of yours. So I used to watch your games, and me and dude named Kenny Atkinson, we used to dissect all the best point guards. And he was like, Rondo playing tonight.
Like it was Sunday against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Against Miami.
You was about to play.
I was about to play.
And I'm like,
ABC game. I'm ready to go crazy. To play?
And he was like, yeah, I thought he got hurt. And we like forgot about it. And then when they tell you, you tore your ACL, I'm like, he finished the game on a tour ACL.
Let me tell you about the play, though, after I did that. So listen, this was crazy because Kyle Korver was turning our ass up that game.
Yeah.
And when I tore my ACL, at the time, I thought I was hyperextended. I'm like, whatever, fuck it. I'm 25, 26, whatever. I'm young. I can get through it. The game went overtime.
Yeah.
So Kyle's turning our ass up. Doc called timeout. Man, who going to stop Kyle? Coach, I got him. Fuck it. It's after I tore my ACL. Next play, you niggas are in a play. He came off a damn near triple screen. I'm chasing a nigga. Next thing you know, he lined that bitch up. Hi-ya. I'm like, Coach, I can't check him. I'm fucked up. It was all like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I get on the plane. I'm thinking I'm cool. My shit swell up. I'm ice my shit. Whatever. We playing cards. Boom. Next day, we got an off day. Sunday come. Man, that game, I did have a back. I had a triple double. So I got two triple doubles back to back. I'm trying to catch Bird for this third one. It's ABC. I'm playing against Bron. So I got another level I'm ready to go to. ABC. Go to training room. I got that morning, 10 o'clock shoot around something. I got damn near 10 heat packs on me. All on my legs, my back. It's cold as shit in the arena. And I go, about to get ready for the game. I take my shower. The doctor's like, oh, go sit on the table for a second. I'm like, for what? Time out. Go lay down for a second. He did the ACL check on me. He was like, you're not playing today. I'm like, what? Like, what you mean, nigga? I'm ready. I'm all right. I'm cool.
That shit
crazy. He's like, nah, go get this extra MRIs. I'm like, okay, cool. Go get the MRIs. It's Sunday. Hospital's closed. Nobody's in there. I go with one doctor. As soon as I get out of the MRI, we drive back to the game. I turn on the radio. Rondo to AC. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how? We just got the MRI. Like, I'm looking at the doctor. Like, bitch, did you call somebody? Like, how I know I got the ACL tour? Like, what do you mean? So I don't even know. I get the news on the radio going back to the arena.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
You could have went, though.
That ain't even legal.
I was trying to go. It wasn't no cut. I don't know what I would have done if I would have just fell down because I had a partial tear. In order for me to play again, I had to get the surgery. But if I was just regular Joe, I could have just continued to walk around.
I probably
would
too. I probably popped a couple perks and went crazy.
Off the park.
I
feel wrong
with him.
30.
But
I didn't.
Perk 30.
But at that time, I said D Rose towards ACL and Amon Shumpert towards ACL. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't finish the game. So for me, in my mind, it's like, well, I finished the game, so I didn't tear my ACL.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I thought this hyperextended, I can play.
Yeah.
That was my mindset of thinking what an ACL tear was.
I just remember, I'm like, this nigga finished the game. This
bro, you
different.
Unreal.
I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm this dedicated. Finished the game, bro. Like,
for sure. Before we get out of here, though, we got to talk about it. Bro, that number 9 Rondo is one of the legendary rap lines. How did that feel when you was in everybody's rap show? Like, anytime somebody said 9, your name was coming right after that.
You know what? It was so crazy. Like I said, I never understood or knew it because, again, the reason I got 9 in Boston was because 4 was gone. No, 4 wasn't gone. The single-digit number was gone. And Ryan Gone was like, man, give me some bread for it. I'm like, nigga, like you said, I ain't got no bread. I can't pay for no motherfucking number.
Yeah.
I fuck with 9. Let me get 9. That's how it came about. So I didn't really know, obviously, what I was doing when I got it, how crazy I've been through. Maybe like about 10 years ago, I had one of my boys out in Seattle who used to make the iPods for us.
Okay.
And Nate Robinson's homeboy. And he made all the track lists with number 9 in it with my song. And it was maybe like 56 songs or something that had my name in it. So it was humbling. And again, when I went to all the clubs in different cities, I'm in the hood club and all the niggas show me love, man. It was unreal. Like, that's another humbling feeling. It's like, niggas I don't even know, but I'm in the cities. They ain't really got a lot of people around me. And niggas looking to grind me, they loving me. You know what I mean? They fucking with me in a sense. Yes, sir, no man. Homo.
Yeah. But, nah, you good, bro. Like, nah, that's some real.
Nah,
Rondo tapped in the show. I respect. Nah, that's a good feeling, though.
So, yeah. Get the love from the streets and, you know what I mean, from your peers. I mean, it's a great feeling.
Nah, that number 9 Rondo line.
Nah, legendary. Legendary jersey,
sure.
Too.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
For sure, man. Sure, hey, look.
They got to retire, too. Think they gonna retire?
Man, listen, man. I'm able to provide my family for generations, man. I don't give a fuck about a retired jersey, man. If I do, then it's a blessing again. It's another one. But again, when I started this shit, it was to take care of my family.
So, love, bro. I understand.
Hey, man. Salute, man. We know what it is. Whenever this time, we know you're going to the Hall of Fame, first ballot. We ain't even worried about it.
We appreciate you having us in the 502, man. Appreciate the gratitude. Shout out to the team. Shout out to the family. You know what it is. Club 520 be here. Tell the people where they can buy some merch at.
Well, hold on. I still got Mount Verb over old. Oh,
you named three people though, bro. You got to name. It's hold a on, five Nancy, man.
Let me do my spiel. I got to do my spiel.
Go crazy.
Shout club520.com.
It ain't going to be no Oak Hill Mount Verb merch on the site. Just us.
Nah, for sure. Love, gang. Appreciate you coming on,
you know
bro.
What it is. Nah, for sure. Like, share, subscribe. All that good shit. Club 520.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust.
Watch sensational Grand Slam action on Tennis Channel as top stars clash at Roland Garros in Paris. Catch all the excitement.
What a shot! Come on now!
With Tennis Channel's comprehensive coverage as we bring you live matches and nightly encores, plus match previews.
That is awesome!
Don't miss one of the greatest events in all of sports, Roland Garros, the French Open. Daily live coverage on Tennis Channel, now through June 9th.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.